Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The third hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you on a not just any old Thursday morning. We've had a lot of Thursdays in 2024, but this Thursday is special, my friends, because in 12 hours and some change, you and me and Lonzo and everybody are going to be sitting on couches and love chairs and lawn chairs and blankets and who knows what other surfaces around the upstate of South Carolina and watching a little NFL football, the Ravens and the Chiefs. I know. I could not agree more. A rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, potentially a preview of this year's AFC Championship game, takes place this evening, and it matters. And as I've said a couple of times, remember, this game is actually really big. This is actually one of the biggest games of the year because the winner of this game is going to have a full one-game advantage over the other team for whomst gets to host the AFC Championship game. If you win this game and you end up with identical records at the end of the year, the winner of this game could very well host the AFC Championship game against the loser of this game. And if you're Lamar Jackson, you know how big that is. Mahomes has already come into your house and beat you a couple of times. You can't go to his house and beat him, especially not playoff Pat, because that's a different breed of cat. You know where I'm at? I kind of nailed that. So we'll talk some NFL football. Lonzo and I later in this hour will give you our projections, predictions, and prognostications for the AFC and the NFC West. Yes, we are both going with the Chiefs, but who do we pick in the NFC West? We'll give you that full breakdown later on in the hour. But now, ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy and pleased to welcome to the show for the first of many, 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 many times making her Rob Brown Show debut. She is a beat writer who covers the Gamecocks of South Carolina for the Greenville News. Joining us now on the show, Miss Lulu Kesson joins us. Lulu, good morning. Welcome to the show. Super glad to have you.
Good Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
We're pumped to have you. Glad to have you to talk a little Gamecock football. First off, before we get to that, let's get the niceties out of the way. How are you enjoying Columbia? How are you enjoying South Carolina? How are you enjoying covering the team so far?
I'm loving it. It's truly so different moving here from Massachusetts. My first Columbia summer, definitely hot. It gets a lot hotter down here than it does in Massachusetts, but I'm loving every minute of working around this team and getting to know these athletes and covering these coaches. So it's been a blast.
As a fellow transfer member of the College Football Deep State Media, Lulu, let me go ahead and break the bad news. It somehow gets worse every year. I can't explain it. As hot as you think it was next year or this year, it'll be hotter next year and hotter the year after that. It just is what it is. Welcome to the upstate.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's just, I'll get used to it, but it's never going to get cooler.
Nope. All right, Lulu Kessin joining us here. She covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. Lulu, let's dive right in, and I'll ask the open-ended question up front. South Carolina skates by Old Dominion out of the Sun Belt last week. Lonzo and I butted heads on this. I said, yeah, it's a win. Every win's an important win, especially when you think you're fighting for bowl eligibility. But to me, it kind of felt like a letdown. It kind of felt like I was expecting. I mean, you're a 21-point favorite coming into this. I kind of felt like it was going to be a performance that Shane's guys were going to show that, yeah, maybe we're not Georgia, but we put a little something together. Lonzo, on the other hand, has been riding the, hey, every win's a big win. Celebrate these wins. There's a lot of good here. Just your overall opinion on week one's performance against Old Dominion.
Yeah, I think both of those points and perspectives are valid. Should they have won by a lot more than they did? Yes. I think Shane Beamer was probably the first to say that. In his post-game press conference, he didn't directly say, hey, we should have won by more, because I do think he's very careful to compliment Old Dominion. And don't get me wrong, they play a tricky defense. They have like a three safety defense, which makes it sort of hard with the run game. But at the same time, I do think expectations for Lenora Sellers in the offense were a bit high. Somewhat valid, I guess. It's a little tricky. Lenoris, when he played as a true freshman, especially that like 50-yard touchdown he had against Furman, like you see that and you expect him to nail his receivers downfield every single time when he's actually the starting quarterback. And obviously he didn't do that. So I think in a sense, a win is a win. I don't think game one's really in any sport should be a blanket statement for the season, especially this year with a team like South Carolina, where they might be fighting for wins late in the season, just given the strength of schedule and somewhat of the rebuilding year or kind of transformative year they're having. But I think in general, looking at this win and looking at how they played against Old Dominion, it was more alarming, I think, the lack of chemistry in some ways than necessarily the fact that they only won by, you know, I think the final is 23-19. So, yes, they barely got by a Sun Belt team week one, but I definitely think that it's going to look like a different team by week four, five, or six.
Talk to me about Lenoris, because I did turn around yesterday on the show, Lulu, and say there's really two or three plays in this game that I think are the difference between a 23-19 game and maybe like a 30-12 game. A couple of them were drops from the wide receivers. And I know Shane either yesterday or Tuesday in a presser said, hey, look, we're gelling as a wide receiver room. It's a young wide receiver room. We got to get them on the same page with a QB who is officially QB1 for the first time. And this was game one. Can you talk to me a little bit about the connection between Lenoris and the wide receivers? Do you expect that it is one that is going to get better? Do you expect the drops to decrease? Or do you think that that's something that Carolina fans are going to see maybe be a bugaboo throughout the year?
Yeah, so that was sort of my main question for Beamer and offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins this week. I think it's very valid as coaches to say a lot of those drop passes or kind of overthrown passes from Lenoris had to do with, you know, chemistry. They're young. They're getting used to each other. I mean, there was like five transfer wide receivers this year for South Carolina. One has since left and went back to Louisville. But regardless, it's sort of like, valid to point your finger and say, oh, we need to gel. But at the same time, that isn't something that can happen overnight. So I do think to a degree fans have to expect that the wide receivers aren't going to magically wake up on Saturday and feel 100% confident and comfortable with Lenoris. And I think it takes time. I asked Lenoris how he does kind of grow chemistry between his receivers. And he said, like, just, you know, doing whatever you can after practice, like getting extra snaps against the defense. And again, I think that's all valid. But my biggest takeaway and sort of concern from that was if Beamer is going to continue to play nine wide receivers a game, like he's saying, or rotating a bunch, how does he expect Lenoris to get comfortable? Because I do think, yeah, you have to, if you're a quarterback, you have to be able to play with everyone and anyone who might be in the game at a given time. But I sort of wrote about this week how maybe pointing to 1 to 3 receivers and really working on, okay, they had the best game against Old Dominion. Going into Kentucky, how can we elevate them in the sense that the growth is rapid between sellers? Like Dre Jacobs had the most receiving yards by far. So I'm sort of like, he looked the best in game one. Why don't you kind of focus on that going forward? You don't need to name him number one for the rest of the season. But I do think in terms of gelling together and getting Lenoris comfortable, he can't expect nine receivers a game. He can't expect to magically gel with all of his teammates right away. And I think being a little bit more hyper-focused on a couple wide receivers that outshined the others in game one won't necessarily hurt them going forward.
We are talking with Lulu Kessin. She works for the Greenville News covering the South Carolina Gamecocks athletic department. There was another clip, Lulu, that came out of that Shane Beamer discussion where he was talking about the wide receivers gelling and all that, and then he said, I told the team we've got 88 days until the Clemson game. And a lot of people cut that clip off at that moment, but he went on to explain what he meant was there's only 88 days left in college football. It's not like you've got 2-3 months to allow this team to gel. Shane's taken a little heat, a lot of Carolina fans, and I will absolutely blame it on some media members who are less ethical and good at their job than you are, Lulu, that have kind of massaged that clip to make it look as if Shane is just saying, hey, we care about the Clemson game and nothing else. I don't think that's true. I think he went on to explain himself pretty well. But from your perspective and your interaction with Shane leading up to the game against Old Dominion, leading out of the game towards this weekend at Kentucky, can you kind of give us your insight as to the attitude, the mentality of Shane Beamer trying to develop this team as we get ready for the SEC opener this weekend?
Totally. And I'll preface it by saying to everyone listening who might pull up receipts from like Beamer 3 years ago, I've only been here since April. I'm still learning kind of how he handles things. That being said, I did see somewhat of anger and a little bit of a fire after the Old Dominion game. And it did seem like he was genuinely really disappointed. And I would say throughout preseason, we didn't, as media, we don't have a ton of access to practices and we didn't have a lot this year. So it was difficult to really, like, we weren't necessarily seeing Beamer rip his players' heads off after they made a mistake. And I can't sit there and be like, okay, good, he holds them accountable. I don't know in that sense. So a lot of preseason practice was a little bit of sunshine and rainbows, just media seeing it through the lens of, okay, we're hearing what things are like through Beamer. Then we see Old Dominion, and we see that game, and I think that Beamer's assessment that there was no execution, there was obviously a lack of chemistry and a lot of self-inflicted errors, I think that's very valid. And I do think that Beamer sort of continued to stand on that throughout his press conference on Tuesday. Yeah, I definitely would not have just taken that we're 88 days from Clemson clip. It's tricky because that's just naturally the last game on the schedule. And obviously there's a lot to say about the history of Clemson and South Carolina football. So that could have been twisted in any sense. But I do think Beamer on Tuesday was very clear that he was not pleased with his team. And he does, in a way, expect them to be a lot better. And quickly, I asked Dowell, like I said, about the chemistry. And he said, there's no secrets. There's no shortcuts. Like, the secret's in the dirt and it's hard work. He said they have to be an incredible practice team, and Dowell didn't think that the offense had a good practice before Old Dominion, and he did think that they were starting to have a better one this week. So the part of me wants to be like, hey, game ones are tough. And Beamer said, I think his direct quote was, game ones stink. He said that a lot leading up to Old Dominion. And I think in a sense you practice for what, a month? And maybe by the end of it, you're kind of like losing steam when maybe they should have been gaining steam. So it'll be interesting to see week two, especially with it being Kentucky. But I do think Beamer was very clear that his expectations for this team are that they need to play better than they did week one.
Talk to me a little bit about this Kentucky game. Again, I know you're kind of new to the area. Alonzo and I have been here and working on this show together for about 4 years now, and about 2.5 years ago, these two teams got together and Mark Stoops went off a little bit and was talking about the concept of culture versus climate. And he said, you know, we're trying to change the culture at Kentucky. And he very much singled out Shane, though not by name. He said, you know, when you're dancing in the locker room and wearing funny glasses and making Instagram reels, you know, that are comedy skits, that's changing the climate, not the culture. And I kind of think Shane took that a little personally. And then they came out and beat Kentucky in that next game. This has kind of developed almost into kind of like a minor rivalry game, if only between the coaches, not the teams themselves. But it also adds a little pressure, in my opinion, to win this game this Saturday. It is still going to be a game where South Carolina is going to have to play as close to flawlessly as they can get. What are your early impressions on South Carolina going to Lexington?
Yeah, so I caught up on the whole sunglass gate, as some of us media members call it yesterday, and the whole thing with Beamer and Stoops and the hat and everything, and I have thoughts on that. But in terms of the actual game, it's tricky playing Kentucky this early. It's actually, I was looking through game notes yesterday, it's since, I know for sure since South Carolina joined the SEC that this is the earliest these two teams have ever played each other. Last year, I believe it was week 11. The year before, it was October 8th, so like a little bit more into the season. And I think that's an added layer. It's not only the both of each team's first conference game of the year, but it's normally that like late season must-win game. And I think if it fell after South Carolina faces Ole Miss, Alabama, Oklahoma, it would be a much different story, but it's tricky. Like you said, Lenora Sellers and South Carolina as a whole, but particularly Lenora kind of has to be flawless, and that's a lot to ask from a true freshman week two. But at the same time, he's in the position, and you do have to keep that high standard no matter what his age is. So it's tricky. Kentucky has some really good players on defense. Deion Walker, Shane Beamer referred to as a game wrecker. He's just everywhere on the field and is looking to absolutely disrupt your offensive scheme. So I think it'll be absolutely a highly competitive match, a highly competitive game, a showdown in Lexington, as I've heard it described, but it'll be tricky. It's sort of a must-win game for South Carolina, but at the same time, how much can you really say in week two? And I think that depending on South Carolina and how they play, they might wish that game was a little bit later in the season when, like Shane is wishing, Lenoris was gelling better with his receivers. But again, who knows? Maybe it does happen overnight.
Lulu Kessin covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. Last one, and then we'll let you go, Lulu. I have said a number of times, like, bowl eligibility to me is probably the standard expectation for South Carolina fans. They knew it was going to be a development year as much as they wanted to grow from last year. But 6 wins might be kind of the minimum, or else there may be some uncomfortable conversations around Shane Beamer next year. I have gone on the record and said, if they do not get a win against Kentucky, I don't think there is a path to 6 wins elsewhere because of the difficulty of schedule. Do you agree with that? And how important do you think this Kentucky game and getting a result for the Gamecocks is in the grand scheme of the 2024 season?
Yes, I do. I will go on the record and say that I agree there. I do think this, if South Carolina can't find a way to beat Kentucky, I do think that their path to 6 wins dwindles and it's hard. And it's going to be a much different season if they don't come out with a win on Saturday. It won't be easy, and it's nothing like the stakes of Old Dominion, that's for sure. The expectations are different. They're the underdog in this matchup. But I do think Kentucky is a very telling win. And it's a very important game, I'll say, for the Gamecocks looking at the entire season.
Lulu Kessin covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. She makes her Rob Brown Show debut today. She will be joining us moving forward on Thursdays at 8 a.m. We will do it through the rest of football season, into the basketball season, and around the calendar for as long as Lulu is willing to grace us with her presence. Phenomenal stuff, ma'am. Thank you very much. We are glad to have you here on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News, thank you so much for joining us. We got to run to a break. Winzo and I come back here in just a moment. We run through the audio blitz. I got some clips that we pulled off of social media over the past couple of days. Some of my favorite audio that I want to run for you and give a brief thought or two on each. And then we will wrap up the hour by making our predictions for the NFC and AFC West. That's coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Going to run very quickly here through a very short version of the audio blitz some of the sound bites that we have found over the last couple of days that stuck out to me for one reason or the next. This one is a little bit of an older one, but, you know, we've talked a lot of baseball on the show. I'm going to keep talking baseball on the show. This is a clip from the old Sports Science show about hitting a baseball. And I want you to really listen to the numbers because they, again, you always hear hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. But they actually went on to explain why, and I find it interesting. Is that not wild? You have to decide if to swing, where to swing, and how to swing. You have the amount of time that it takes you to blink. It is literally a decision that must be made in the blink of an eye. The blink of an eye is how long you have to decide if to swing, where to swing, and how to swing. And then if you do make the decision of if to swing, how to swing, and where to swing, you have approximately 0.07% of that blink of an eye to put the bat in the right place. Statistically speaking, it should be theoretically impossible to hit a baseball, with the exception of blind luck. It should, especially considering the numbers that they used right there, are for a pitch that is 90 to 95 miles an hour. Paul Skenes throws the ball 103, almost 10 full miles an hour faster than they took into account for those numbers. It should be impossible, with the exception of occasional blind luck, to hit a baseball. And the fact that Major League Baseball players can not only do it, but the best can do it a third of the time is pretty freaking spectacular. Let me give you another clip. This clip comes from Fox Sports Knox. It is a radio station, Fox Sports, out of Knoxville, Tennessee. They were discussing the SEC this past weekend, week one in SEC football, and they received a call. And it got a little interesting. Lonzo, as a radio guy, you live for these calls. And that's all that I need to tell you. My man called into a show because he just wanted to talk football. All right? Want to talk some Tennessee. Want to talk some University of Florida. Want to talk some SEC football, y'all. And in the background, in front of country, the wife says, get off the damn sports radio. It's a loser situation. She says, my dad needs your help. He says, I don't care. I'm done. And she says, I know you're done. I will take your $2.5 million and leave. That's the most awkward divorce threat in the history of divorce threats. That, because you know, if that guy loves sports radio, you know his buds are listening to it. And the wife just dropped, not only are you a loser for listening to and participating in sports talk radio, but I will take your $2.5 million and hit the road, Jack. Woof.
Okay. How's that dude have $2 million?
What are you saying? People who are very smart and financially lucrative don't listen to sports talk radio?
Well,
are you saying none of our listeners have money?
According to her, it's a loser thing to do. So what is my dude winning in to be have that much money for her to take?
I don't know. All I know is she doesn't know or give a rat's patootie that she is on the radio live putting my dude's business out there. And for the record, I want to go, oh, it's a work. I want to go, oh, and she's a, I'm going to tell you straight up. The fact that, so in the middle, you heard the change. I had to dramatically amplify the volume because she was off in the background. This is legitimate. All right, this is legitimate. Because if it's acted and you want it on the radio, she's right up next to the guy's head saying it so it can be heard. She is clearly on the other side of the room, doesn't want to be anywhere near this dude. And she said, get off the damn sports radio. It's a loser situation. Ma'am, I am hurt. I am offended. I am flabbergasted. My flabbers are gasted. by your very rude comment about what I do for a living. I mean, I am a loser, but I don't need you saying it on the radio, ma'am. Oh, that's gotta sting, because you know the minute that guy hung up on the loser situation of being on the damn sports radio, my guy's phone line blew up with text. The boy's going, oh, guess you can't go golfing this weekend. Guess we're not tailgating next weekend.
All right, so.
Woof.
Again, it's me, but I think it's a work.
It's absolutely not a work.
Because of the money amount. If she just said, I'm leaving you, that's fine. But throwing out that much money, I don't believe it.
I want to live in your world where nothing bad ever happens.
I don't
know. It must be amazing.
How many people do you know who have $2 million for their disgruntled wife to take?
Here's the fun thing about people who have that much money. You don't know. That's why they have it. That's what my old man taught me growing up. The guy who has millions is the guy driving the 03 Corolla and never letting you know that he's got it. And that's how he keeps it. That's how he keeps it. That's why nobody's calling him asking for help and buying a boat.
I believe that is possible in certain situations, but I also think that people who have that much money flaunt it.
I can tell you as the one percenter I am, it's not always true. I believe that call to be real. That's woof. That's a rough, rough call to have your life broadcasted like that on a live loser sports situation radio show. Lonzo and I predict the AFC and NFC West next on the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, the official lunch destination of the Rob Brown Show. It's Three Friends Bar and Grill in Moonville and in Taylor's in the Public Shopping Center on Wade Hampton Boulevard. And let me tell you why. It's because it doesn't matter who you are, or your taste in food, or drink, or whatever. If you're a friend of mine, and we're going to go to get lunch, I'm bringing you to Three Friends Bar, because they have something for everybody. Maybe like me. You're a garbage disposal when it comes to food. You will eat anything. Well, they've got everything for you. My current favorite thing right now, they're crab-stuffed mushrooms. They are mushroom caps filled with crab and with a house-made Mornay sauce, and then they melt that mozzarella cheese over the top. Mwah! Chef's kiss. It is delicious, but maybe you want something lighter. Well, they've got the traditional salads. They got the chef salad, the Caesar salad, the grilled chicken salad, but they also got a fried chicken salad, a raspberry spinach salad, an Aztec steak salad. It's a Southwestern salad with, well, steak on top. It's as delightful as it sounds. Maybe you're starting to feel a chill in the air. You're a big soup individual. I know I am. How about the soup list? Not only do they have house-made chili, and it's good chili, but they've also got the cheesy pepper chicken soup and a potato soup. Y'all, as somebody of Irish descent, I am telling you the potato soup is as good as I've had. Or maybe you're just a sandwich guy, man. Maybe you just want a good old sandwich to knock down for lunch. How about the Pancetta Bacon Club or the Smoky Chipotle Turkey Sandwich or a good old-fashioned Reuben? You can never go wrong with the classic Reuben, right? And they put it on authentic, fresh-baked pumpernickel bread. You cannot beat it. The best thing about Three Friends, all the things that I just mentioned, made from scratch, never frozen. They're not pulling your food off an ice truck that morning. No, they buy their ingredients as fresh as they can, and they make them when you order to your order. That is why Three Friends Bar and Grill is the official lunch destination of the Rob Brown Show. And OBT dub, since it's football season, they got TVs and a full bar and an excellent selection of beer if that is your style. Check them out online at 3FriendsBar.com. You can see the menu, see the locations, get signed up to become a VIP, whatever you want at 3FriendsBar.com, or just go for lunch. Bring your friends, bring your family. I do. That's why it's the official lunch destination for the Rob Brown Show. It is in Moonville and in Taylor's, Three Friends Bar and Grill. All right, let's let's talk some National Football League as we get set for week one, game one this evening. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, an AFC Championship game rematch from last year and potentially preview for this year. Today, we focus on the Western divisions of both the AFC and the NFC. Let us start in the NFC, because frankly, I think there is more discussion to be had there. There are some compelling storylines out of this division, in my opinion. The Arizona Cardinals, they have leaned in to Kyler Murray, but I also feel like this is Kyler Murray's last chance to prove himself. If Kyler Murray don't get it done, he is going to have to go Justin Fields somewhere else next year. Go spend a year as a backup. Go spend a year getting everything he did in Arizona out of the noggin and hopefully reprogramming himself to be better elsewhere. The LA Rams. Los Angeles has quietly put together a team that a lot of people think might be a dark horse contender for this season. Will they? Won't they? I don't know. I am very interested in that. The Seattle Seahawks. Geno Smith is just a couple of seasons removed from being the NFL comeback player of the year award winner. But of course, that was under Dave Canales, now the head coach at the Carolina Panthers. Geno did take a step back last year, but it was not a dramatic one. It was a minor step back, a step back nonetheless. Seattle has bought all in on what they are trying to build there under Mike McDonald. And then, of course, you have, last but not least, the San Francisco 49ers. And the 49ers storyline, to me, great one, is very simple. If they can't do it this year, they got to blow it up. All right? If they can't get by Mahomes and the Chiefs or whoever comes out of the AFC as the team that did, the San Francisco 49ers have to blow it up, because you can't be better. And we'll start there, because the 49ers are minus 200 to win the NFC West. They are not just a favorite. They are one of the two shortest favorites to win their division. It is San Francisco and it is Kansas City, the two teams we talk about today as likely divisional winners. Kansas City, and I believe this, and this is based on salary cap more than it is anything else, even with the restructuring of Trent Williams, even with the restructuring of Deebo Samuels, I do not believe that the 49ers can be better than they are this year. They got Ayuk happy with a four-year deal. Deebo restructured. McCaffrey was able to stay healthy all year last year. Kittle is hitting the point where he's kind of in his prime. And they got a fullback, a legitimate, genuine fullback. Use check. This team can't be better than it is this year. If they can't get it done this year, they can't get it done with the current iteration of players. I think they know that. And because of the fact that I think they know that, we can talk about the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. We can talk about the Rams, because I really like what the Rams have built. But as far as I am concerned, San Francisco is winning this division, Lonzo, and I think they're going at worst like 13-4 to do it.
What's your projected order for the rest?
I'm going to go San Francisco 1, Los Angeles 2, I'm actually going to go Arizona 3, Seattle 4.
Okay, I'm just going to flip the Arizona and Seattle. But what 1 and 2 are the same. I don't understand about your they need to blow it up because they can't beat Kansas City. There's no guarantee Kansas City makes it to the Super Bowl.
Or whoever does.
Yeah. In your opinion, I can tell you my opinion. San Francisco is the best team in the NFC, and they have been for a couple years now. Why would you blow up the best team in the NFC because they can't win the big one? What are you going to? There's only one change that you could possibly make that can make them better, and that's quarterback. But we've seen other people in that system not be able to run it the way that Brock Purdy does.
I don't disagree, but I also don't agree with the folks that are trying to put Brock Purdy into the elite quarterback conversation. He's not, all right?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. He is the right guy for the right system.
He is the guy that has shown that he can run the system the best. That is not to say there aren't other guys who could. I have no idea. All right. We know the guys that can't because they haven't. And we know Brock Purdy can run it. But I think that if they had a guy in there, so this is the way I phrased it. Brock Purdy is a good quarterback who can be carried to success by a great team, but not a great team that can carry a good team to success. That's how I feel about Brock Purdy. I think he's good enough if you surround him with a great team. And I do believe the San Francisco 49ers are a great team. Now, I will make one amendment to that great one. And the one amendment I would make to that is this. Maybe they can get a better quarterback to replace Brock Purdy. Maybe they can bring in a great quarterback who can lead a great team to success. Here's the problem. If they get close but no cigar, they're drafted 31, 30, 29, 28. There are no, and very rarely if ever are there, generational rookie quarterbacks that nobody's getting drafted at QB at 15 through 32 that I go, that's a guy you plug in there as a rookie. So if you're going to grab that guy, you got to go get that guy. You got to trade that guy, maybe pick him up in free agency. Here's the problem. The 49ers, because of the deal with Ayuk, because of the deal with Debo, they're under the cap, but not much. And they're going to go above the cap and have to restructure some guys again next year. I know that the one position they can't acquire a free agent for a top flight contract, which is what you'll have, is quarterback, which means you got to trade for the guy. But if you're going to trade for the guy, teams are going to want one of your big pieces for the guy, because quarterbacks, when they go on the trade block, they're getting huge prices, in which case now I got to blow up the skill set I built around Brock Purdy to get Brock Purdy's replacement, in which case I don't know how much I'm gaining by switching out the signal caller. I don't know if there is a path for San Francisco to replace Brock Purdy if they do get to the point this year where they get close but no cigar and we all come in here the day after they lose the NFC title game or the Super Bowl, whatever, and we all agree Brock Purdy was the reason why. I don't know that they can replace him.
Well, and yes, they can't do it through the draft.
Certainly.
Unless they get lucky and find some late round draft pick who fell and shouldn't have fallen or something like that.
Unless they get a Tom Brady. I mean, honestly, I know you don't want to use that as an example, but he's kind of the go-to for late round quarterbacks.
That is the prime example for sure. Or unless they somehow find the knack that Andy Reid has of finding late round players and getting a lot out of them. I don't know. All I know is the thing that bothered me the most about what you said is them blowing it up. Cause then what do you have? I mean, I get it for salary purposes, but there's no blowing this team up. And there's also, they also, I don't know of any other NFC team that's going to compete with them.
If they let's say it happens again for the third time, San Francisco makes it to the Super Bowl, and for the third time, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs beat them.
Yeah, let's say that. I'm okay with us saying that.
All right, for the sake of a discussion about the 49ers and not Kansas City, let's say that happens. All right.
So they're just happens, there, but okay.
If that happens, they go to the Super Bowl, they lose to Kansas City again. How many more times are you going to run that back? It's happened three times, theoretically. Well, it's happened three times. At some point, this is just like when colleges have coaches that hang around forever and they're legends, they're icons, but they're turning in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, and 4 seasons. At some point, you got to go. As much as we love it, as much as we appreciate it, as much as we want to celebrate it, at the end of the day, kind of tired of being the bridesmaid. I want to put on the pretty white dress too.
I think in every sport, I know in every sport, there's a team that always says, it would have been our time if it wasn't for that team. And this is the problem. San Francisco has gotten really good at a time when that team is on the other side, and that team has been their nemesis every time. And it happens all the time. That great boxer comes up, beats everybody except for that one guy. That great basketball team, like the Bulls back in the day, could not get past Detroit no matter what. Finally, they did, but it took them forever to do it. In this case, in the NFL right now, if there was no Kansas City, San Francisco would probably be the Super Bowl winner.
They'd have three.
Yes.
They'd have three.
Right.
Right? I agree with you. But again, how many times do you run into a brick wall before you go, this way don't work? And that's kind of the problem. And whether you blame it all on Mahomes or not, if Mahomes loses, and let's say the Ravens beat him, the result is still the same, right? The result is you either can't get by Mahomes or the team that beat Mahomes. And if you can't win the Super Bowl with this team, and that is the objective, which it is, what's the point? What's the point? What's the point of keeping a team together if they can't get it done? And I'm going to say if they lose three in the last, 5 years? If they lose three in the last 5 years, then I'm pretty comfortable going, they, as constructed, can't get it done. Now, you could take a big risk. You could move on from Kyle Shanahan. You can move on from the head coach and go, the head coach gets us there, but he can't get it done. A lot of teams do that. Or you could take the risk and go, you know what? It's going to cost us Debo, or it's going to cost us Ayuk, or it's going to cost us Kittle, but we got to get a new QB in here and see if that can elevate us. I don't know what the move is, but I don't think there is a path to replace the quarterback that doesn't either cost you, or that doesn't, frankly, end of discussion, cost you a hell of a lot of resources to get a first-round draft pick and then ride with a rookie, which we know fails way more than it works, or go get a high-round draft pick, because that's pretty much your options at that point.
Hey, they're still not Buffalo, though.
I don't know why. I don't know what Buffalo's got
to
do with it.
How many years in a row Buffalo went to the Super Bowl and lost?
Oh, we're going old school, Bills.
Yes.
Yeah, my buddy Jack's a Buffalo guy, and he's like 27, and even he hurts from that. Wasn't even alive yet.
Yeah.
And even he hurts for that. I get it. You know what's not going to hurt? Your ears when Lonzo reads these words for you.
Wow, that's the nicest thing you've said to me all day. Charlie Morton earned his, and you're not wrong, Charlie Morton earned his eighth win of the season with a 5-inning, 2-run, 8-strikeout performance for the Atlanta Braves in a 3-0 win over Colorado. Atlanta attempts the sweep tonight, just a half game up on the Mets for the final wild card spot. The LSU Tigers have lost starting running back John Emery Jr. for the season with a torn ACL. According to reports, Emery played in 7 games last year and started against USC last Sunday, rushing for 61 yards on 10 carries. The Tigers will rely on sophomore Caleb Jackson and senior Josh Williams, who combined just 51 yards in week one. By the way, commas are really important. Turn in this Saturday at 4:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Charleston Southern Buccaneers. It's Furman versus Charleston Southern right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.